You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week we have another iTunes roulette for you, with Leanna being the hat wearer this time.
I am wearing the hat.
Wearing a fancy hat, nonetheless.
It's a different hat than Andre had, too.
Probably for the best.
I thought it was a fun hat that I had last
I'm not
time.
Saying it wasn't a fun hat.
Okay.
It had to be a different hat. It's a new day. It's a new hat wearer.
A new hat,
it's
too.
A new hat.
Okay. So let's quickly go over the rules. Just to sum up for the audience that, like, hey, this is still a new game that we created. Let's remind you quickly. Leanna, do you want to start?
Sure. Sorry, I don't know where you wanted me to start. There's a whole page of rules.
At the top, I guess.
All right, well, one player wears the roulette hat, which is me, and whether this is a mark of pride or shame will depend on the movie that I pick.
The player who wears the hat has 4 clicks to find a watchable movie.
And then the player wearing the roulette hat may purchase 2 extra clicks by taking a shot, which it's a very important rule.
Ben and I can freeze on Leanna if we want to, but it costs drinks for us to freeze it.
Shotgun beers.
Shotgun beers, yeah, which is
specifically
terrible.
And
I had to do it last week and I didn't enjoy.
And this week we have regular sized beers, which is yeah. Probably bad for me because it means the boys will be a little more likely to use that rule.
Yeah. And so for the number of freezes, that's the number of shotgun beers you have. Leanna, you want to go over the next one?
Yeah, I can also unfreeze by paying the same price that the non-hats have agreed to pay.
And I think that's more or less it. I mean, it should be stated that phones are generally banned during this entire clicking phase. Like, no unnecessary advantages. There's a few other small rules. Player can make a bet. There's a Kevin Bacon rule. We'll only get to those if they come up.
Yeah.
But I think that's all.
We're not going to read the whole rule book.
No.
No.
That's kind of it. Should we just jump into this, Andre?
Yeah, sure.
Last time, me and Leanna went into a room and described and also made the choice as to what we were going to watch or what the starting pick was. But this time, Andre and I have spent some time during the week, figured out what it was, and we're just going to surprise Leanna.
Yeah,
I'm feeling a little nervous.
You're a little nervous.
You should
like
be
when
so
you,
happy.
When you said that, I felt my stomach drop a little bit. Like, what did they pick? I'm very excited.
This movie was cherry picked for you, Leanna.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I feel so special.
This week has been a really tough week.
Yeah.
This has been the week of the Trump inauguration and his first 6-7 days in office.
Yeah. So February 21st to 27th?
January 21st to 28th.
Yeah, sorry, January.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So we have seen a lot of new laws coming down the pipeline. We're not excited about them. And we just
not
thought...
Not excited is like not where I... Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Sounds like we're not building you up for that. Are you more nervous now than when we started?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. So I have seen how that's affected you and... You're obviously not happy about these laws, and I thought for us it'd be fun if there was like one day where you didn't have any laws.
Imagine a world without laws.
Yeah. So I thought maybe we could like make a safe space for you by watching a movie that's about trying to find a safe space.
Okay.
So we're gonna watch The Purge Election Year.
And there you go.
Yeah, so I'll give you this controller. And
So Leanna's going to talk through her picks.
And her thought process.
Also, we would love to know your thoughts on our pick for you.
These are all horror movies. There's not even that many options.
Where's your mind at, Leanna?
You probably just want to watch this movie, huh?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't.
Andre and I could be very mean and just freeze here.
We could.
That'd be four beers
in a row. I couldn't do that.
Oh, God. Okay. So I would like to point out there's not one, but 2 movies titled Ouija?
I've always said Ouija.
Ouija board?
Yeah, but that's not how it's spelled. It's confusing. It's like Ouija?
It's a weird word.
Okay, this movie has an actor whose name I recognize that might be...
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
The movie we're looking at is Staten Island.
There's no such thing as the perfect crime.
On the other hand, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Nightmare on Elm Street are like really well-known movies, so maybe that would kind of help me get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two other Purge movies.
That's always
why not. You can stay deeper.
Much the options.
You could try to stay in the Purge circle, and then you could probably land on one of these movies if you wanted to watch a Purge.
I'm gonna try Purge Anarchy.
Oh my gosh!
Later. Okay, doubling down on Purge.
That was
here we go.
Well, really?
I
interesting.
I don't really want. I don't know.
No, go for it.
I'm gonna do it. Done. One click.
Okay. I'm not surprised. You stayed within the series, and the recommendations are about the same. So, can't say I'm surprised.
Danny Quaid is in Horseman. He might Perfect Getaway. Oh, those what are some actors. That? Those are some actors.
All right, so that's choice number one.
Okay.
Well, that one has Pride and Glory has what's his name in it?
Oh, is
Edward
that,
Norton?
Is that
yeah, Edward Norton. Norton. Yeah.
Oh, and Colin Farrell. Okay, I'm gonna do that one.
Okay.
I think
just rapid fire.
Which one's
Pride? Oh, wow. Okay, we have gotten out of the Purge.
Okay, only took two clicks.
Just a couple titles I'm excited about here.
Look at
50 Shades of Grey, RoboCop, The Italian Job.
This is your third click, though, so we won't watch the movie you click here.
I know.
But Jane we will watch one gun? Closely related to it.
Yeah. Frequency with Dennis Quaid and...
Yeah, can't seem to get away from Danny Quaid.
Is he in The Purge or something? Or maybe that's why Pride and Glory was...
I feel like he might have been in one of them. Tumbleweeds.
That one looks bad. I wouldn't click on Tumbleweeds.
Well, okay, this is a big choice.
This is a big choice. What? But you have a lot of options.
Yeah.
This is a wide variety of movies.
I think The Italian Job might get us the most watchable options. On the other hand, 50 Shades of Grey might take us down a really interesting last choice road.
I think that's like the interesting option.
Do I take the safe option?
What do you think is going to be on the other side of each of those titles? I'm curious to know.
Also, okay. Leanna, you are in control, so you can subject Andre and I to a film
that I know
we may not necessarily.
So for The Italian Job, I think we're going to get more heist movies, which could be fun.
Maybe an Ocean's movie.
Or a Fast and Furious film.
That's true.
Ooh, Fast and Furious.
These are all true.
We could just watch another Fast and Furious film.
On the other hand, 50 Shades of Grey could get us some pretty bad romantic comedies. Although this isn't a comedy.
Or it could get us Twilight.
Oh, could get us Twilight.
Do we want that?
Ooh, well, we did want to watch... I wanted to watch it before... Oh, guys, this is hard.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a risk.
Okay.
We're doing it.
50 Shades of Grey. Okay.
Oof.
Oh.
Those are some weird choices.
No. We got some options here. Okay.
What do we do.
The Adjustment Bureau is not awful.
So you've seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Beastly. There we go. I think we have found our choice.
That looks so bad.
This looks like a...
It is bad.
Bradley Cooper's a chef.
That also doesn't look good. Oh my gosh. 21.
That has Kevin Spacey.
Have you not seen it? I've seen it.
I think I have. Kevin Spacey like gets a bunch of kids to help him count cards.
That sounds very bad.
Yeah, that is the plot, the whole plot.
This one has an airplane.
Before the Rains has the Sundance like branches on it.
Yeah.
I don't know that those are just like the movie branches. It's not necessarily Sundance.
I'm pretty sure it is.
How to Be Single with Rebel Wilson, Alison Brie, like that could be a fun one.
Can I watch a trailer? Is that...
Yes, you can watch a trailer for a sip.
Okay. Well, I think I want to watch the trailer for How to Be Single.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause the podcast so...
We can watch this trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we will update you on our thoughts. So, Leanna, how do you feel about How to Be Single?
I don't feel good about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of those movies where I would want it to succeed, and it's going to be really painful for me to watch it not succeed, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I'm not going to choose that.
Okay.
So I've seen The Adjustment Bureau before, and I remember really liking it, but I don't know that I want to watch it again.
That's how I feel, because I watched it with you, and I thought,
it was fine.
But I already rewatched one movie for iTunes Roulette.
Unknowingly.
Yeah, unknowingly.
I don't think that counts.
This time I know I've seen
this. This is such a weird collection of related films. Oh my god, it's
so... Like, why is Captain Phillips related to 50 Shades?
None of these feel related to 50 Shades of Grey, except maybe Beastly.
Beastly totally does. Vanessa Hudgens and Alex Pettyfer.
If I were you, I would just buy my way out of here.
Get some extra choices.
Yeah.
Take a shot.
Because I was going to pick 21.
Yeah.
Oh.
21? I mean, that's an option.
You can pick 21, but you can also take a shot for two extra choices. Two extra picks.
I think I'm going to take a shot.
Okay. Well, we can save it for after this, so we can just...
Okay. All right. So we just keep going? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I hadn't really thought about how I was going to get out of here.
Yeah.
How to Be Single has a lot of actors in it, so that'll have a lot of options.
Yeah.
On the other hand, 21 does have Kevin Spacey, so we could get some Kevin Spacey options.
Yep.
And Adjustment Bureau has Emily Blunt and so possibly...
Inception.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
I would totally watch Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, that thematically...
I'm gonna go the Adjustment Bureau.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay, wait.
What? Oh, wow, you have a ton of options.
Oh, so many good options, but I can't pick any of these. Oh.
Right, it's the what do you want it to be related to?
But you could go to Ocean's 12 and get, like, Ocean's 13.
Oh, we would
13.
Get the other Oceans. We basically, watch an Ocean's movie.
Yeah,
which is not bad.
That, I think, is what I'm going to do, guys.
Oh, there's Live, Die, Repeat.
Oh, God, I've been wanting to rewatch that movie.
I know,
that
me is too.
And it's on Netflix, too,
you
so it'd be free.
You guys could freeze it, yeah. Just saying.
It's such...
Oh, that is true.
Yeah, but then we would have to take...
You would just have to shotgun one beer.
Yeah.
And I would have to take a shot.
You would just have to shotgun one beer.
And I would
beer.
Have to take a shot. And we'd be basically even, and we would get to watch a movie we all want to watch.
That's true.
I think this could be a great team-building moment for us.
Or we could watch an Ocean's
movie. It's that or I'm going to pick Ocean's 12.
Mm. Well, I guess you don't have to make that choice.
No.
Andre and I could freeze.
I'm going to do a countdown here.
It's basically...
Five.
Ben, would you rather watch an Ocean's movie?
Four.
Or shotgun a beer and watch Live, Die, Repeat?
Honestly, both sound good. I haven't seen an Ocean's film in a while, and if it's either Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 13, I'm fine with it. And I love Live, Die, Repeat. I've seen it multiple times.
Oh, God, I could go either way, too.
One and a half.
Leanna, what do you want to watch? I know you're at 1.5 seconds left. So really quick here.
Though. I don't know. I was hoping you guys would make the decision for me.
That's not, that feels like contrary to this game. Like as soon as you said we could freeze it, that I feel like that isn't in the spirit of us freezing it.
But since I'm trying to find my safe space, it would mean a lot to me if you guys would join me in consuming some beverages and watching one of the first like good Tom Cruise movies I had seen in a really long time.
Okay.
Alright.
I can do that for you. We'll freeze it.
Yeah,
What are we supposed to say? Freeze man?
No.
Freeze mister?
Oh, jeez.
Time to kick some ice.
Time to kick some ice. That's the one. Okay.
Jeez.
It's Live, Die, Repeat then.
Yeah.
It is.
Which, I swear the movie was always Edge of Tomorrow, and then when it came out on DVD, they branded it as Live, Die, Repeat. Am I wrong?
No, they totally did. Okay. They changed the name of this film for some unknown reason, but I think it's because Edge of Tomorrow didn't, like, either the SEO on it was bad or it didn't sell well. But this film is awesome, and I think the issue is it didn't sell well, which is why they tried a different...
Oh.
I'm really excited to watch this movie.
Yeah, me too. Let's get into
it. Okay, let's do it.
The bummer thing is I almost wanted to watch this for a Munch post at some point, because we had that whole, you had to use the same ingredient in every meal.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll at least mention that now. Like,
yeah.
Our idea for this was we were going to have a single ingredient potentially decided by our audience, and we had to use that ingredient in every dish and appetizer and drink.
Yeah, tonight that dish is beer, and it's going to be...
served nice and cold.
Yep. Pour, drink, repeat.
Yeah. Leanna, what's your shot? going to be.
No, you guys get to pick.
Yeah, we do get a pick.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell me.
Well, I think we're going to make one up, and the name of the drink's going to be called The Safe Space. And I don't know what's in it yet. I'll figure that out now.
I'm into it.
Okay. It's not going to be good, though, because we froze for your safe space. So it's, like, purposely going to be bad.
Yeah.
You guys are so kind.
Or maybe we'll call it The Purge, and it can just be, like,
there you go. Ooh, that's a better name for a shot.
Ooh, okay.
We'll get back. Audience, we'll get back with you on what The Purge actually is.
And but our thoughts on Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
Which we know is going to be good.
Okay. We just finished watching Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
Leanna, what do you think of it?
I mean, this is your choice. Technically we froze.
Yeah. I'm really glad we worked together to watch this movie tonight.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. It was really great. Like, I remember the first time I saw this movie, and I had basically chosen not to watch any Tom Cruise movies because I just thought he was really crazy and weird, and
it came out after Going Clear came out, correct?
And no.
Oh, really?
Before that.
I think it was before it.
Okay, but I thought you had seen Going Clear, and then you were, like, really hesitant about Tom Cruise, and then you ended up seeing...
No, you're thinking Mission Impossible.
No,
we were hesitant about seeing Mission Impossible.
And I had also seen the Oprah interview, because that came out when my mom was, like... I just remember that being on in the house. Not always.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing the Tom Cruise interview, and I remember being like...
That's a moment of his life.
Oh, he's crazy. And I also, like, it came out around the time in middle school when we started talking about Scientology. Like, I was taking, there was a... Comparative Religions is not the right name of a class that I was in, but we...
In high school?
No, it was middle school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
and we actually looked into, honestly, it was so long ago, I don't remember, like, the extent of religions that we researched, but I know Scientology was one of them.
Yeah.
And this happened around the same time, and so I remember just thinking to myself, Tom Cruise is absolutely insane, and I don't want to see any movies that he's in.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so when this movie came out, and I think it was you, Ben, who actually told us, it was really good, and that
really
we should
good.
See it. And so I put that kind of Tom Cruise prejudice aside and said, let's go see it. And it was amazing. And it was just as good the second time around.
It's a really good film.
Yeah, it is. I guess people can believe whatever they want to believe and continue to go out and do good work in the world.
Well,
As long as it's not putting other people in danger and actively harmful and things like that.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, you can believe whatever you want to believe and then go out and do your job, and your job, as long as it's not related to that.
No, but I also think, like, Tom Cruise's, like, persona within the movies that he does made him perfectly suited for this role.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we were actually talking halfway through this film, like, all right, who else could play this role?
No
who
one.
Could play
I
it like he did?
I cannot think of anyone.
And there's
he had the perfect veneered white teeth for the smile moments.
Oh, he was that had, a necessity?
It was.
It was.
Oh, okay.
Because there were also times when he would try to, like, smile and, like, talk his way out of things.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a very brief moment where they're, like, where he is, like, I was an ad exec and I, like, lost my company when the attack started. And you're, like, oh, okay, so you're the type of person who is constantly selling himself. That makes sense because you're constantly flashing your veneers and constantly trying to make everybody love you.
Mm-hmm.
But in this world, everyone is so hardened.
Yeah.
They're not...
Or specifically the military is hardened.
Yeah, they're not falling for that. But Tom Cruise is perfect for that role. He's so good in it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the perfect casting where I didn't necessarily see him as the typical Tom Cruise character that he plays. But he's interesting, like, he's charismatic. He at the right moments, he's completely defeated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you believe him in a weird way that, like, other characters couldn't have. Like, typical action heroes have this like certain bravado that they can like force through it.
Uh-huh.
But Tom Cruise almost brings like a certain he has those moments of like simplicity and like letting everything settle in.
Yeah.
And being like, all right, yeah, it's kind of fucked right now.
Yeah, well, there's like, one other actor I can think of who's also not above sci-fi.
Yeah.
Who, now that I think about it, maybe could have played this role. The ad exec part, maybe they would have made him a different job, because I can't see him as an ad exec.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
I think Matt Damon could have played this part.
No.
I see where you're going,
because like he was in Elysium.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of the...
It's very similar.
It is similar, but I am glad they didn't pick him because he seems like the obvious choice.
Or you can see like aspects of the Martian working into this.
Yeah, he's not old enough. Like it was kind of nice seeing Tom Cruise, who, yes, looks 20 years younger than he actually is.
And was 52 in this film when this film came out.
Yeah. So it was...
Or sorry, probably 51.
Around there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he would have been, yeah. I think Tom Cruise still was better. Although when you were going towards like the another person who appreciates science fiction, another actor that I would want, the first person that came to my mind was Scarlett Johansson, because she also really loves being in science fiction movies, and she's actually been in a number that were more experimental and weren't necessarily box office successful.
Like in her Under Her Skin.
Oh, she's in that new one coming out too.
And there was one called like...
I don't know if that's going to be...
No,
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that... Yeah. I mean, we can talk about that separately. That has its own issues. Oh, but yes, I was more thinking about... There was one where it was just like... I want to say it was called like... Judy or something. Like, it was just her
Lucy.
Lucy, that was it.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Luke, I think that's like a Luc Besson film.
But anyway, I feel like Scarlett Johansson has been in enough indie science fiction films that she has expressed to her audience that she's into them.
Yeah.
And she could have also been...
Started with The Island.
Was she in The Island?
She was the lady in The Island.
Yeah. Her and Ewan McGregor.
She has come such a long way.
Both of them have, actually.
I don't know. Like, that's, like, right on, like, the peak. Like, Ewan McGregor was kind of hitting his peak right there.
Yeah.
In all honesty. Like, that was...
You're probably right.
What Star Wars period. And then, like, he kind of dies down a little bit. Does, like, some smaller indie projects. Does some, like, beginner stuff.
Yeah.
I have no idea what he's doing now. I'm assuming... He was just in a film because, like, there was a huge tiff over him interviewing with Piers Morgan.
So, my mom and I actually watched a movie where it was Ewan McGregor, and I do not remember the other actor, probably because he did not matter, because it was Ewan McGregor, and my mom and I were going through a phase where we were really into him.
So, this is, like, middle school or something like that? Or when
late,
was this?
Either late middle school or early high school.
Okay.
It like ambiguous, like 14 to 16.
Okay.
For my age. But he did this show where he like rode a motorcycle across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched it together.
Was it The Motorcycle Diaries? Yeah. Or like,
no, that's a different movie, and it's actually really good. Zen and the Art of
Motorcycle.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about.
It's called The Long Way Round.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not as good of a title, I'll be honest.
No.
No. All right.
But The Motorcycle Diaries is a totally different movie, and it's really good. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it qualifies as an international film, too, because I want to say the whole thing was in Spanish.
What about Lift, I Repeat?
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah, what about that movie?
We just watched that.
Yeah.
Let's get to... All right. I kind of just want to mention a few things about this film that I love. I love how quickly it gets into the meat of it. Like,
they waste no time. In the pre-credits sequence, they're just like showing some world building. They're just letting you know what's going on so they can jump right into the story.
Yes, that too. You're not wrong. But also, like, they understand that you know what this Groundhog Day kind of scenario is like.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, like, the constraints of it. And so they don't take any time in getting into the actual meat of it and like moving the story along.
Yeah.
And then once they're actually telling the story, they just very briefly like cut to moments where it's like, all right, you recognize that Tom Cruise just died, but we are going to continue the story because this, you understand what happens.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love their acceptance that the audience understands that and not like trying to beat the audience.
I think they're pretty smart. They're smart about it. Like,
yeah.
Every time they give you a little less time to, like, figure out what happened.
And
like,
because you
the
know.
The very first time he dies, they have, like, the exact same dialogue from every character in every scene.
And they then, give you just enough.
Yeah.
And not more, not less.
Right. I think that's partially because, like, Groundhog Day is a culturally, like, accepted
they
film.
They can kind of
that's
use
out
that.
There. Yeah. Yeah, that it's okay for them to use that. But I also think that if you hadn't seen Groundhog Day, like, per se as a millennial, you could go into that movie and be like, oh, this is like a video game. So this is his checkpoint. Yep. He's died. Yeah. He goes back. I yeah. get this because I play a game like this every day of my life. Like, yeah. I think there are some people who got it from both perspectives or some people who got it for one or the other.
Yeah.
And that's almost why it's such a significant film, because it brings Groundhog Day and video games together in a way that people from multiple generations can, like, talk about what yeah. it would be like yeah. to have a checkpoint that you keep going back to and that you learn from and you try also, so hard to break out of.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I
How
love it.
How great of a video game would this be? Like,
it'd be so yeah. good.
And I say that as more of a question instead yeah. of a statement or a proclamation. Sure. Because, like, I could go both ways on it. I could see that, like, you having these, like, highly scripted moments that are very visual and cinematic, and you having to try and find ways to, like, work yeah. around that, and constantly dying, and dying being a part of your learning process and your tutorial.
Yeah.
And having that be the video game, and like having these like incredible moments where that like sets you up for you dodging out of the way of a helicopter or taking out enemies, and like just learning those patterns and having those yeah. patterns not change to where you can learn it. Like, does that really work as a video game?
I think it does. I'm thinking about the game. I think it works on like there's two different things that's going on. You want to be learning the enemy moves,
yeah,
kind of like you talked about, so you can like constantly be practicing that,
yep.
getting better at it.
Get
the other thing you're trying
memory.
To do is just shortening the time it takes before you can actually get into the action.
Yeah,
because Tom Cruise does that in the movie too, where he's like, "I've had this conversation with my sergeant 400 times,
and if it's like,
and like, how can I make this conversation go faster so I can start doing the stuff that I was practicing last time? This doesn't matter anymore."
Yeah.
So you're like trying to speed up the beginning part and practice the part that you died at last time.
And if they develop in a way for you to actually speed that up,
yeah,
and like to find those like plot holes, almost yeah. like a speed run kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah. Like yeah. I think for a game like that to be truly successful, you have to, like, the writers of the game have to have so many different scenarios for the dialogue so that you have that opportunity to, like, race through things and yeah. be like, boom, boom, yeah. boom.
Or at least make it seem like there's a lot of opportunity.
But yeah. you also have the opportunity to kind of test different conversations
yeah.
and see what happens next. And I love, like, one of the things that I love about this movie is there's so many scenes where Emily Blunt just, like, shoots Tom Cruise in yeah. the face because yeah. she's like, you failed. There's literally no point in us going further. And that's, like, one of the most annoying things about games is where you can't reset and you're just like, no, like, I've clearly not done well on this level. I just want to go back and do it again.
Yeah.
And so that's Emily Blunt being like, you're dead, and resetting
yeah.
you. And so
yeah.
I love that, tonight, like, there's, like, almost no stakes.
Yeah, tonight Ben and I were playing Hyper Light Drifter, and there's times in the game where you're like, okay, figured out what we have to do at this point. Let's just kill ourselves so we can have full life and do it again.
Yeah. yeah.
And,
yeah.
like, we can go back to the checkpoint.
That's exactly
with full
it.
Life. Yeah.
Or it's like,
yeah.
we go into it, we learn something new.
Yeah.
That we can then apply to the next run.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like,
we okay. know we're going to die at a certain point, but, like, hey, we've learned, like, all right, let's stay back a little bit here.
Yeah.
Reflect the bullets and, like, just move forward.
And then it's like, okay, we know what to do. Let's just jump off the edge so yeah. we can start over.
Yep.
Because we did that. Yeah, multiple times.
So I think I think it's like it's a common, it's a almost a tactic that you use in video games like that. So it was really well done in this movie where you see this, like you see Tom Cruise and you see Emily Blunt choosing to use that video game.
Yeah, there's a lot of
connections. Well, what I liked too was, like, you would get sick of doing that over and over and over and over and over. And then Tom Cruise, at one point, he's like, instead of going to meet up with Emily Blunt and practice training again and go and die again, he goes to the bar. And he's like,
something completely
today
different.
I'm just going to take a break. Because that's like how, if you were in this situation, you don't adhere to the days of the week where, like, Friday and Saturday are your breaks. You just have to decide, it's Tuesday again, but this Tuesday
I'm doing something.
I'm doing something different.
Really,
I'm going to the bar on this Tuesday.
I really appreciated that scene, this watch, because it made his character seem so much more realistic, because, of course, his character would go to the bar one of these days, because he would probably think to himself, I'm going to die anyway today. I might as well see what it's like in London when they, like, all die.
See how this plays out in a different
context. Yeah, and I really like how this movie plays with time, because there are moments where you think you know what timeline Tom Cruise is on. Like, you think that this is only the next run from the one that you've seen before.
Yeah.
Mm. But then something will happen and he'll act like he knows too much, and then someone will call him out and you're like, oh my God, he's been here so many times. He's been here for years.
And it's and it's perfect for those moments in which he ultimately doesn't know.
Yeah.
Which is like the ending where he is going through all this for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it creates such a good contrast between everything before the film, where he's knowledgeable, he understands it. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's trying to play a little coy or a little dumb in a moment.
Yeah.
And then when they actually find out that his blood has been changed and they no longer has that power, and that, like, it all matters, like every moment matters, and if he dies, he dies for real, and that's such like a powerful moment, and they do such a good job of building up to that moment.
It makes it that much more intense.
Yeah, it's such a good ending. Like, I remember.
Well, it was also a good ending because we got to see Emily Blunt do the push-up that we pledged to take a shot for.
It is so perfect. Like, beginning, middle, and end, you get to see that scene where she goes from, like, push-up to, like, doggy or, like, some yoga position.
It's not downward like dog. It's upward dog.
Upward dog. Where it's like, oh, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, it's a slow rise. Really emphasizes her arm muscles, which props to you, Emily Blunt. Damn.
Yeah. She put in some work.
She did. Should we mention our drinking rules, I think, for this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I want to get back to the video game, because I have a few questions that I hope that you two can answer for me about this video game. If we were
talking about the game, let's just keep talking about the game.
And then get into drinking rules? All right. So a few things, like, does the ultimate completion of this game, is that like a perfect run? Is that how you defeat this game?
Yeah, you blow up the hive mind, or what do they call it?
But you have to do it in a perfect run without, like, missing anything?
Yeah, because the checkpoint is the beginning of day one.
Okay, and then how do you build the game to where the player character doesn't get tired and ultimately wants to find the completion of that storyline?
I think that there can be more than one ending.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of the game, we played it together. It was the two girls.
Gianna sister?
The Necro.
No. It was the one, it was in a high school. There was a shooting.
Oh.
999? Bridges Less Reward?
No, she's talking about the,
There's a diary that you write.
It's like a Telltale game, but it's not Telltale.
Life is Strange.
Yeah,
Life is Strange.
Yeah.
That's the one. Because
you gotta go back and change your decisions.
Yeah, that's
So, I think
there's no real consequence.
I think if, Edge of Tomorrow was a video game, it would be similar to that in that you would be able to make enough decisions that there were at least, like, three or four different endings.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have different, like, different things that satisfied you as as the driver. Like, in some of them, you would be able to defeat the aliens. In some, mm-hmm. you might not defeat the aliens, but you'd win over Emily Blunt. In some, you'd become, like, really high-ranked in the military and feel like you had overcome your view of yourself as just a basic ad exec, but had actually become a true warrior. Like, I'm not sure what all of the different options would be, but I feel like there's a couple different ways it could go.
Yeah.
And maybe the perfect run unlocks, like, the path to all of them.
Yeah.
Or maybe it makes you choose.
Yeah.
But I think there's a possibility there for a couple different runs.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I see it as like a Dark Souls.
Okay.
Basically,
you're going to have to explain that because I have not played that game.
Dark Souls is an extremely hard game. I think I
know what you're
getting at with this. Basically, the checkpoints in the game are very, very far separated. So to get from one checkpoint to another, it could take you 10 tries or more. And the way you get there is by eventually learning, okay, an enemy's going to jump out of here. This is how I deal with that enemy. And then I know an enemy's going to jump out of there. This is how I deal with that one. I should go sneak past these two enemies this way. And you don't beat the game by upgrading your gear, really. You beat the game by learning where everything in the game is and how to get past the enemies and get to the next checkpoint.
Okay.
So
like, Dark Souls as, like, a shell, but then add a lot more cinematic and scripted moments that are very cinematic.
Right. Yeah.
Like, another example I was thinking of was Rogue Legacy, where you do actually kind of improve your strength and things like that. And that's a corollary to Tom Cruise being in this moment and, like, understanding the battlefield and learning.
Yeah.
And so, like,
learning how to turn the safety off of his gun. Like, that's the first skill point.
Exactly. Like,
You
get those skill points to where you can get better. Like, you increase your strength and things like that. You understand what pain is and can kind of expect it.
Yeah.
And so that would essentially increase your health bar, or you get better at shooting your guns. And so that increases accuracy and maybe even damage, because then you can focus on certain parts for the mimics and things like that. So it has that, like, so it's small, kind of Dark Souls-y. Yeah.
But you do have to start over every time. As the driver, you also have the choice between choosing to just do everything over and over again to just, by repetition, build up those skills.
Essentially a grinding mechanic.
Yeah, which some games have.
Totally.
And, live off of. And if we're talking about how it really depends on, you know, the game monetization too. Yeah. Like, it might be the type of thing that you could buy more health or more precision or, like, what have you. Or you could just choose to live through those days over and over again the way Tom Cruise does in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that's a totally valid way to either, like, buy your way through that or just live through it the way Tom did.
The gameplay. Yeah.
Or should I say Billy Cage? Because that's what I would like to call him. His name is William Cage, but I'm calling him Billy Cage.
Is that his name in the movie?
Yeah, it's William Cage.
I think Tommy C.
you're personally...
Or Thomas Cruise.
Yeah, just Billy Cage isn't like a great name. I think you said Thomason
earlier also.
Thomason?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Which is not really a name.
No, but like Thomasons are also like a... There is a... never mind. Just look up the 99% Invisible episode that's about Thomasons. Like, you can have that all...
Thomason the Train Engine?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
But let's go into drinking rules. Leanne, you want to remind us of the drinking rules?
Yes. So, the most obvious one is to drink every time Tom Cruise dies, which is often. And we drank every time there was, like, a... implied death.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times where something will happen and you don't actually see Tom Cruise die, but then he wakes up and you're like, oh, obviously that didn't work out for him.
I would love to know a number of times. Like, we should have counted how many times that
happened. It also would be hard because there's some rapid fire scenes and There's also a number of scenes where they imply that he's been there many, many times, right. But it's the first time you as the audience member has seen it. So I'd actually love to hear the director or the writer's take on how many times that character dies, because I'm sure they actually have a number.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Another drinking rule was every time there is a military form of address. So this includes things like sir or private or captain.
Sarge.
Unfortunately, Sergeant. We made this rule before we watched the movie, and I think if we could go back, we would have changed it to drink every time someone says maggot.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the lowly ranked military officials are just referred to as maggots.
Well, yeah. Okay. Here's the problem with that rule. Is every time Tom Cruise dies, he wakes up and the guy says, put these clothes on, maggot. Or like, here's your stuff, maggot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so why it's a good rule.
It's tied in exactly with whenever Tom Cruise dies.
Yeah, but I think as is, we forgot about the military form of address at the end of the film because it's such a generic rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there maggot needs to be a balance there. Maggot would have been a little
bit better to latch onto.
Okay. Like, it's definitely easier to latch onto, but I agree that it has the same form.
So just like for our listeners' sake, if they're planning on watching this movie because they're so inspired by us and they're like, God, what are the drinking rules? I would recommend swapping it out. I think maggot would be a fun one.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe, like, get rid of your push-up drinking, or get rid of the maggot drinking rule and just have push-ups and whenever Tom Cruise dies, and then the shot rule, and then that's, like, probably a good balance or, like, a good buzz to drunkenness without being overly drunk.
Yeah.
And our last one was to drink every time that there's a push-up, and there's a number of, like, the push-ups come in quick succession.
Yeah.
They're not like one-offs, like, oh, someone's doing a push-up. It's like, oh, someone's doing 20 push-ups. So that's something you need to be prepared for.
It's a really good one. And then
as like, because we really wanted a drinking role that had to do with Emily Blunt, because she's such a badass in this film.
She really is.
She's so great. And there is like a very specific push-up that she does, and we all remembered it. And we were like, yeah, we'll take a shot when she does that.
Heavy quotations on push-up.
Yeah. Let's be honest. It's more like there's a yoga term for that as well.
Upward dog.
Upward dog, but like also let me show you my massive biceps.
Yeah.
And just how toned I am.
Is really the muscle.
But the important part is
triceps are like back there.
That's what you'd be using.
I'm pointing to like a diagram of Emily Blunt right now.
Yeah.
And then like
you got biceps all right here. She also got some mad shoulders going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say Emily Blunt has been putting in work.
Yeah. And so we ended up doing 3 shots instead of just the 1 shot that we thought we were signing up for.
A surprise to all of us.
Surprise 2 shots.
But beginning, middle, and end.
It's a
classic scene.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is great. It does actually tie the movie together pretty well.
Yeah. So like, this is one of the best. I think we were commenting as we were watching the film that this is one of the best films we've watched recently, which was kind of like a nice detox in a lot of ways, especially as a lot of week, like as we mentioned earlier, hey, it's been a really rough week, and I'm glad that like we got this purge, quote unquote, in the terms of actually like a good movie and like having the opportunity to kind of like unwind and relax and just watch the movie.
Yeah, like
I do feel that the purge would have been kind of.
I still want to watch it.
You do?
You want to watch The Purge?
No, The Purge Election Year.
Specifically that.
Isn't that the worst of the trilogy?
We
don't know.
I think so.
I'm not closely tied to this.
I think, series. I think based on Rotten Tomatoes reviews, it is.
I guess I would watch one of them. I would.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, cool. I would.
Wow. Cool.
And I should have mentioned earlier, one of the reasons why, because I know earlier when I was choosing between movies, Ocean's 12, I think, was one of the options. And you both mentioned, obviously, if I pick Ocean's 12, the other Ocean's movies will come up.
Which would have been great.
And I think we should watch one, but we should watch it closer to when Ocean's 8 comes out.
Yeah.
Because we've been...
When does that come out?
I feel like there's still just a... I'm going to assume the summer.
This summer?
Can we Google that real quick?
Yeah, I'm going to do a live...
A live Google?
Yeah.
Just because we've collectively been kind of sending articles around that have photos from the set. And I think I can say we're all excited for this movie.
Yeah, we're looking at 2018 for that.
2018?
Ooh, June 8th, 2018 is the current release
date. But they're they're...
Shooting right now. It takes time. It
takes a while. They gotta edit it.
Can you imagine editing a film? Madness.
Those are hours.
Yeah, that's not just hours. That's like hundreds of hours. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, okay. I thought it came out sooner, so that was why I steered away from it, because I thought, obviously, when that movie comes out, we'll watch one of the originals. But I, you know, still no regrets. I think it was fun movie for us to watch.
Yeah.
I felt good about us working together to watch a movie that we all enjoyed. I think we all deserve to watch a movie we enjoyed this week.
Oh, we promised the audience we would explain what The Purge is. The drink.
Oh, the drink.
That shot. It's not a drink. It's a shot.
Yeah.
So, Phil, all right. Leanna... Sorry, I cut you off there. You should actually describe what The Purge is.
Let me describe what happened.
You had you're the only one here with the experience.
So, I came downstairs, and there was a shot waiting for me.
Black as night.
Black as night. That's accurate, actually.
Yeah. Which is
and there was a little bit of, there was just the slightest, like, bubbling on the top, and I didn't think anything of it. I thought, it's fine. And I took a sip, and sure enough, it matched the bottles that were still out on the counter, which were Jägermeister and the Kraken. And I thought, okay, this is fine. I'm going to be okay. And I took another sip. This
is fine.
And at this point, I was about halfway through the drink, and I was like, this is not a good drink. I do not enjoy this. And then I realized there was something in my mouth, and it was a dog hair.
Uh-huh.
And so I asked the bartenders, I said, one, is there a surprise in this drink? And they said, no. And I said, is it that the drink is warm because it's terrible warm? And they said, no, we just didn't decide to cool it for you. And I said, three, is it the dog hair I just pulled out of my mouth?
At that point,
Andre said, yes, that's the surprise.
Let me submit a rebuttal to some of your
And I did finish
there.
The second half. For the record, I did finish it. It was the worst part.
So, we did not mean for there to be a dog hair in there.
No, that was unintentional.
Yes.
You know how much time she spends checking out the bar.
That's true. The dog does spend a good amount of time sniffing the bar.
Yeah.
She would be drinking if she could.
Yeah.
And then, on two... It is not that we wanted the drink to be warm for you, but the Jägermeister wasn't put back into the freezer whenever we had it last.
But you couldn't shake it, like, with some ice. It was just...
Sorry, are you trying to impose some rules on The Purge?
No,
I mean, this is The Purge.
You guys developed the... And I'm... Okay, here's the thing.
Maybe...
As a drink, named The Purge, accurate.
Okay.
Very good.
So, great. We're right on
You did
target.
Very good.
Okay.
As a person who consumed The Purge, I regret it. It was awful.
Don't you think that's how most people feel post-Purge?
We will have to watch the movie.
I haven't watched the movie, so I can't speak towards
that. Or I was imagining, like, how many shots of that do you need to purge?
Not many.
No.
It's just a
feeling. Feeling pretty wild.
Wow, no.
I felt pretty bad after taking it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. All right.
Well, I don't want to say that was our intention, but that was... Kind of aren't.
No, but I do think in the spirit of iTunes Roulette, you did pick the drink for me, and we did...
Watch an awesome film.
Watch an awesome film, which
we worked together on that.
We did work together, which I think is against the mentality of iTunes Roulette.
A little bit.
But I like I said, I think we all deserved it. We all needed it. It was very enjoyable. I'm glad it happened.
Yeah.
And I accept The Purge as my,
next movie.
Oh.
Maybe. But maybe. I was going to say more like payment to watch Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay.
So.
I will be incredibly interested to see what you two choose for me when we finally do our next.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I have no idea.
Yeah. It's coming isn't it? We're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're planning on watching it on February 4th.
That's next
week.
Which
is next weekend.
That's literally next week.
Oh boy, yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh jeez. Oh jeez.
Andre, where are we at time-wise?
Minutes. We should probably wrap minutes? It up.
All right.
Unless you had a photo.
I always have photos.
Can we do one? Can we just do one?
We can do one.
We can do one. Yes. Just one, though.
All right. So, none of our audience sent in any responses to our last Giddy Out of Here. So
let's double down.
What a surprise! Yeah.
let's just add another onto the pile. And unfortunately, I don't have the full list of images. I think in this past week, I stumbled on a certain feed of just horrible images. And I think I saved like 4 or 5 that I really want to show you. So I don't have those with me, unfortunately. But that's not to say I don't have good options.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like split between 3 options here. And I think I'm going to have to go with this one. Who wants to describe this?
I will do it. Well, it was your turn. You do it.
Because you did one last time, right?
I don't know.
It was, I did one and then
both
you
did
one.
Did.
Okay,
both
so it's
did.
My turn. I'll do it.
All right.
All right, here we go. Oh, this is just the kind of image we need today.
Yeah,
so
I would agree.
I'm just going to describe what's here, right?
Yeah, you describe everything that's here as well as the title.
Okay, so first, what's here?
Yeah.
So this is like in high school when you realize that if one of your friends had a real camera and not an iPhone, you could take like long exposure photos and just make like, really elaborate designs with light.
Light graffiti.
Light graffiti. In this photo, all of the light is parallel.
Okay.
More or less.
Okay.
So it's pretty much straight across the image.
Straight across in what direction? Like, are we talking jail bars? Are we talking...
No, not jail bars. The opposite.
So along the road, not across it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. That was a good way of describing it. Yeah. I was struggling with that.
It depends on what...
But the most important part of this photo, the most important part is that there is a circle of 5 hands holding each other around the light. And they appear to be all like white male hands.
Uh-huh.
So it almost feels like it's symbolizing unity, but like a specific kind of unity. And it's pretty weird. And so I would name this photo,
Sphincter. That's what it looks like out of the corner of your eye.
How about Sphincter Synergy?
Okay. If you were to look at it out of the corner of your eye, that's what you would call it.
I'm pretty sure that I'm the person that's deciding.
Like cat butt kind of.
Yes.
No, I'm deciding.
Okay, Leanna has a different name.
Yeah, I would call it...
Sphincter.
No, I would call it... Bored...
Sphincter?
No. Bored discovers friendship.
: Sphincter.
Parentheses in rainbows.
Okay.
Which is a reference to Radiohead.
Yeah, I got that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Good reference.
That's a weird reference.
So let's see if anyone can find this photo.
Yeah.
Or discovers.
Ben and I dropped some major hints about what it looks like.
Yeah, so if you want to search for Sphincter on Getty Images,
and then
you
like,
can probably find
Sphincter friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
make
just
sure you're
imagine
on Getty
me,
Images before you type that in.
Imagine me at work looking for images for the latest banner campaign, and just me searching for Sphincter.
And if you crop that right, it works.
Yeah, it really does. Just crop it real close, real tight. So please look on.
So this has been iTunes Roulette.
Then Giddy Out of Here.
Yeah, Giddy Out of Here, which I'm still proud of that name.
Does not disappoint.
If you can find that image, send us a link to that image via our, or slide into our DMs and DM us on Twitter, or you can also do it on Instagram, wherever you want to find us, or send us an email at getmunchedup.com. Oh my gosh. Getmunchedup@gmail.com. I am so bad at this.
Yeah.
I'm just struggling tonight. We are at GetMunchedUp on Twitter. We are GetMunchedUp on Instagram. Our website is GetMunchedUp and we just .com. And we just posted, or not just, but recently posted a wonderful post on Triple X and Xander Cage and all about that. And I think, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I'm really proud about that post.
Yeah.
It's a great start to 2017.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It talks about a movie that was so ridiculous and so fun to watch. And we found a way to turn such a ridiculous movie into a really good cause. Yeah. Or actually three really good causes. So
three really good
that
causes.
Was super cool. And I really, really enjoyed being a part of that. And I feel good for us being able to support those causes as well.
And yeah. Finally, I want to give a shout out to Shelby Robb for our theme music. We have not done a good job of recognizing that he made our theme music after that first episode.
That is true. Although, to be fair, he doesn't have much of an internet presence besides his old MySpace.
But I feel like I should at least like say like, hey, Shelby Robb did this music.
He did.
Find him on MySpace.
You can also find him on a Delta flight near you. He is a pilot, so there's that.
Keep an eye out.
Shelby Robb.
Those are the two places.
And with that, I've got one final thing. Rita Vitasky was named Angel of Verdun or Full Metal Bitch. If you were a time-traveling being fighting a war, what would your code name be?
The Silver Bullet.
That was... Come on.
What would yours be?
Andre, that's like a thing that you do, though. You can't just...
Yeah, I can.
Liana, what's yours?
I would go with the... I'm just choosing words from things you've already said. It's not very good.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Let's hear it. I'm going to go with the Steel Ballerina.
Okay. Wait, I said none of those words.
I know, I changed
those are words you've probably said sometime in your lifetime.
No, you're not wrong. I almost said the Metal Ballerina, but then I said the Steel Ballerina, which actually sounds way better, but it's just a synonym for metal, so it's fine.
It's okay. It's more specific.
Ben, go.
I'm the Bombin' Benjamin, the Bleeder of Berlin.
That's a long one.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, but...
When that bus drives by, Bombin' Benjamin, what?
You could call me Quadruple B for short.
Oh!
Hey! Oh. B.
And that is Munch. Thank you for joining us as always. We'll see you hopefully next week or 2 weeks from now.